want to invite you just to reflect on just some of these question-like statements as I share them with you. Every time you gather together with other believers, whether it be on a Sunday like today or throughout the week in a life group, do you sense or do you have a strong sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Or do you often find yourself saying yes to God's prompting in most situations, particularly in your workplaces, your schools, your unis, where you live? Or the reverse of that, have there been occasions where you've actually said no to the Holy Spirit? Do you have a desire to say yes to Him more and more? Have you had times when you've seen the manifest power of God in your life, and then other times it seems not to be there? Do you want to see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit increase in your life? Well, if there's some sort of resonance to those questions tonight, if they kind of spark something in your heart, I just want to encourage you just to be open to God's Holy Spirit, because our topic is on Him tonight and we're going to really focus on Him. And as the clip encouraged us, let's surrender to Him, surrender to the Lord and just be open to what He might say. Can we pray? Let's pray together. Father, we just want to ask now that You would just lead us in these next few moments. I want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thanks for the presence of Your Spirit tonight that we've already sensed already. And Lord, we just ask that You would guide us, You'd speak to us, help us to respond accordingly to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I was younger, I always used to look forward to birthdays and Christmases. You know why? I've got to be honest. Because you get lots of presents, right? You don't just get a present from mum and dad. You usually got, like my family, quite a few uncles and aunties. So you used to get quite a lot of gifts. And I remember this one Christmas. Funny how this happens, but I remember sitting on Santa's knee and just sort of say, Santa, mate. Oh, I didn't call him mate. I said, Santa, I would really like a dash and crash car set. And he said, no problem. I can do that for you. So I went home. Then Christmas morning comes. I wake up, open the first present, and lo and behold, it's there. The dash and crash set. Now, I couldn't believe it. As a child, I was thinking, mate, this Santa guy, he's pretty good. And it's funny the things you remember, because I actually remember the shape of the box, the actual how many pieces were in the box, the actual design of the cover is dash and crash set. And everything that this set did, it sort of had a figure eight and loop, and if the cars came down at exactly the right moment, they'd actually crash, you know. That's dash and crash. So I used to love this dash and crash set. And over the years, I reckon we've received many presents, probably some maybe quite significant, maybe even life-changing. Maybe some, you know, they're pretty good. I can use that. Maybe some you think, I wish I hadn't received that. You sort of, you know, the type of presents you sort of wait till next year to give it to someone else. Well, let's be honest. I mean, I must admit I've done that. But, you know, I think what I'd like you to do is just think of two things right here and now, okay? I want you to think of the best present that you've ever received for a birthday or Christmas or whatever it might be. And then the second thing, while you're thinking of that, is the best present that you've ever received from God. Okay, so think about those two things for a moment. Best present you've ever received, and the second thing is the best present you've received from God. Okay, got that? Okay, quickly share that with the person sitting next to you. Just over 1 minute, quick, let's go. Share away. Okay. A lot of the excitement there. Good to see. Probably most of you articulated that the best present that you've ever received from God was Jesus and His saving grace, or words to that effect. All right? That's the right thing to say. No. Connected with that, the most amazing gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, because when we talk about the Spirit, it's very important to recognize that this is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Because in Jesus' teaching on prayer in Luke 11, he says the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And then Jesus says in Acts that he instructs his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift. So the Holy Spirit's a gift. He lives in me. He lives in you if you believe and entrusted your life to Jesus. And Jesus has baptized you with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk a bit more about that later. But I want you to think about this. The gift of having God in us. Because the Holy Spirit is God. God in us. It's a remarkable thought and amazing reality. Just to have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Holy Spirit's a gift. Well, I want to talk a little more about that and the Holy Spirit and the work that he does so well. And follow the PowerPoint behind. Where are we up to, David? Just flick through, mate. And next. Okay, and one more. Okay, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity, equal with God. He is God. And one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit is that he is the agent in the world most fiercely opposed to evil. He brings life to the best and the worst places on earth. And when you compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, you look at the Old Testament and it's like, yeah, the Spirit's there. But when you compare it to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is, whoa, he's there on almost every page. And especially is connected with the ministry and mission and life of Jesus in the New Testament. Well, let's talk about the ministry of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, paramount in the role in terms of the conception of Jesus. Luke says in Luke 1, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, who conceived the Son, which was Jesus. And then later on, we see how the Holy Spirit sends Jesus into mission, empowers Jesus to his messianic task. And then right through the Gospels, we see the power of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus' words and deeds. And this is what Jesus said of himself in Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The Spirit reveals and testifies that Jesus is who he is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. Well, let's talk about the Spirit in terms of the church. Probably just to put it in a general statement, that the Holy Spirit carries on the mission and ministry of Jesus. You see, without the Spirit actually coming at Pentecost in Acts 2, then the church would actually remain disempowered. So the Spirit empowers the church. Just flick these through now, please, Dave. Okay, we are the dwelling place of the Spirit. The Spirit nurtures and shapes us as a Christian community. He gives us spiritual gifts and he encourages the church as we go. Holy Spirit in the life of the believer unites us to Jesus. Go with me, Dave. Okay, next, he unites us with Jesus. He makes the reality of salvation, what Jesus achieved in terms of salvation, the Holy Spirit makes reality in our lives. In Titus 3 it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It gives us biblical understanding. The Spirit inspires the Bible and we have these privileged access to the truths of God. And the power and presence of God and the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And the Spirit brings life and brings freedom. So that's not an exhaustive list, but it just sort of gives you an idea of what the Holy Spirit does and the amazing work that he does. Now, it's just awesome. I want to just speak personally for a minute. Because for me, just before I started exploring Christianity, I had three major problems in my life. I had problems with fathers. Like I didn't understand what... I had two dads, I still do, and I didn't quite... They didn't quite give me the love and acceptance was the second thing in my life. Then the third thing was I had this absolute fear of death. In fact, this fear of death consumed my life. And I just couldn't get a handle on life and it got worse and worse and worse. So when I started to explore Christianity and actually give my life to it, I found that we had a Father in heaven. I have a Father in heaven who loves and accepts me. He loves and accepts us. And I look back on that and I said, how do I actually know that? How do I know that? The Holy Spirit tells me. He tells us that we are children of God. In fact, he doesn't just say, to put it in my language, he stands up and testifies that we are children of God, that we can actually say he is our Father in heaven. Okay? And then this third thing, the fear of death, because this was a huge thing in my life that I had to get a handle on and a grip on. And I remember talking with my discipler one day, his name is Graham, and I said to him, Graham, look, I have just given my life to Jesus and I want to live for him. And his very next sentence to me was, well, Darren, you can now say you're going to heaven. I said, whoa, man, that is a huge statement. What are you basing that on? He said, look, it's not an arrogant thing, okay? It's an absolute confidence thing. You can now say, when you die, you are going to heaven to live with Jesus. And I look back on my own conversion, and it was quite dramatic. I know we all have different conversion experiences, but mine personally was quite dramatic. And I had this, like I said, this fear of death, which consumed my life. And I testify this to you today, that in the flash of a moment, that fear was actually gone. The fear was gone. The fear of death was gone forever. The Holy Spirit was like in me saying, hey, this eternal life is actually a reality. It's actually true. You can trust it. And so sometimes I fall back into patterns where I might fear death, but the Holy Spirit says, no, we have eternal life. It's good. Eternal life. The Holy Spirit's an absolute gift in more ways than you can think of. And it's wonderful. And we do have the opportunity to experience his fullness in an ongoing sense. Now, specifically in Scripture, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 says this, and you can read it on the screens there, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, and making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It means literally to be filled in spirit, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be complete with the Holy Spirit. And as we read these verses in the context of the passage in Ephesians 5, Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit so you can be imitators of God. You can live a life of love. You can resist temptation fully, such as drunkenness, which is the example given by Paul in this case, which leads to debauchery, which means wild living. Now, earlier in the chapter, Paul says there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk. But I encourage you to live as children of light, understanding the Lord's will, making the most of every opportunity to live in right relationship with him and others, be filled with the Holy Spirit in a continual sense. Here's a quote from a guy who's a theologian. He wrote a book on Ephesians, a commentary, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit so that every part of life is permeated and controlled by him. It's not meant to be a once-for-all experience. The practical implications is that the Christian is to leave his life open to be filled constantly and repeatedly by the divine Spirit. Chapter 3 in Ephesians. Just read this with a backdrop now, with the be filled with the Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell fully in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So God wants us to know his love more fully. He wants us to be strengthened on every occasion. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God. I know this one guy who says, to be filled with the Spirit, I've just got to have that on a weekly basis. So what he'll do is, he will set his watch for Wednesdays at 5:18, which I think is the verse. He'll set his alarm, and it'll go up at 5:18, and he'll stop and pray and says, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need the fullness of your Spirit. I need to experience your Holy Spirit. And he does that every Wednesday. You see, it's not just about our relationship with God as individuals, because I want to move on here, but I mean, I would say that's incredibly important, because to be filled with the Spirit, you know, it helps us to experience the blessings and the fullness of Christ. But what I believe is really important is that non-believers are impacted by the testimony of Jesus as a result, because the Spirit's chief role is to glorify and reveal Jesus, to testify to his cross, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now, when you look at the book of Acts, there's about 70 plus times of where there's a Spirit activity, and then it's direct link to the outworking of mission and its involvement in mission. And I just want to take a look at a few references, but particularly in connection to being filled with the Spirit. And the Pentecost event, that's the most obvious. And it says that all of them were filled by the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And we know the result of that. People were cut to the heart after Peter's message. 3,000 people believed and were baptised. And then it goes on to say that those people in the church were filled with awe. Everyone was filled with awe. Moving on to Acts 4, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he goes on to address the rulers and the elders and testify to the resurrection of Jesus. And then notice what the elders say. They said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. There's a connection there between the Spirit and Jesus. They get back. In Acts 4, they get back to the church and pretty much their backs are up against the wall because the authorities are out to get them and they're persecuting them. And notice what happens after they pray. The place where they were meeting was shaken. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and then, as a result, spoke the word of God boldly. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. Acts 6, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he witnesses, and he actually loses his life in the end, but he witnesses to the rulers and the elders again. Philip, led by the Spirit in chapter 8, he witnesses to an Ethiopian, unpacks some scripture, and then as a result, the eunuch is baptized. There's this connection between being filled with the Spirit of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God, and this kind of thing that happens afterwards in terms of mission, in terms of a boldness to speak the things of Christ, to speak the things of God, to speak about the cross of Christ, the resurrection, and all of that. Maybe just one more. Acts 9. Ananias goes to Paul and says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul, Paul, that was his name. And then at once he begins just to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, the early church in Acts were repeatedly and continually filled with the Spirit of God and testified to his resurrection. Now here at South Perth, we do have a number of core values that we've tried to reflect some of this stuff, and two of these values particularly highlight the involvement of the Spirit. The first one is the authentic, passionate, prayerful relationship with Jesus. Just flick through, Dave. And again, next slide. Authentic, passionate, prayerful relationship with Jesus. We see a church whose people are so dependent on the Holy Spirit, who exercise spiritual disciplines, love the Word of God and prayer, that they know that nothing can stop them or stand against them. It's the fullness of God's Spirit, dependency, and mission. Relational Christ-centered evangelism. We see a church committed to Spirit-led evangelism, resulting in relationships of loving integrity where Christ is shared through our lives. I want to encourage you this week, as you are in your particular spheres of influence, whether it be school, university, where you live, that sort of thing, maybe just to seek to live out those two values. Encourage you in that. Now, for some of you, you can just share Jesus just like that. And I really look up to people like that. For others, if you're a bit like me, you might actually have some fears about this thing in terms of sharing Jesus. And fears of maybe ridicule, rejection, isolation in certain environments and that sort of thing. Certainly that can be the case. There may be limited opportunities to share. You might not even be thinking about it in your given sphere of influence. But one of the things that I've learned over the years is that sharing Jesus for me and something that I'm committed to is actually not an option. Something that the Lord wants us to do. The Holy Spirit in us wants to reveal and glorify Jesus in our daily lives. Now, I want to go personal for a minute. I brought a great prop today. The stick. Because I just want to share some of my own journey in this, okay? Because, do you know what this is? I remember speaking about hockey on a Sunday morning and saying that this is the greatest sport in Australia. And that I think the prediction will be that this will take over AFL at some point. I'm just hoping for some televised coverage, and that's my thing. But part of my love, one of the loves of my life is hockey, and I really do love hockey. And one of the things that I feel that I've been put here on this earth for is not only ministry here, but at the club where I'm at is Vic Park Hockey Club. And I really feel like I have a chance to make a difference there in a spiritual sense and for people to come to know Jesus and be impacted by him. Connell's there as well, but we're probably the only two sort of Christian blokes out of about 200, 300 families and that sort of thing. But I really want to say that my desire at that club is that the gospel will be shared and that people will be impacted by that. And it's funny because there have been some experiences and conversations where, you know, they know what I do, they know what I'm committed to. And so they'll say all sorts of things, some funny things too. Makes me laugh. And here's a couple of recent conversations. This guy said, boy, if I stepped inside a church, man, it would surely fall down. You heard that one? Yeah. And I said, well, you know what I do. And if you'd seen the life and the stuff that I've done in my past life, not reincarnation stuff, but the... So I'm talking to this guy, and so I'm just clarifying with you, bro. Mate, you would know the church is still standing. From another bloke who said he's in community service work, works for an organisation, and he won't have anything to do with the church. In fact, when I talked to him about it, he said, oh, what are you doing? I told him. He said, oh, okay. And he sort of walked that way. But then I had this conversation with him, and he said, Darren, look, do you think anyone down at your church would actually volunteer for this community work? And I said, oh, look, I'm not sure, but I'll ask. He said, oh, that'd be great. And these were his words. He said, you know, the best people come from churches. They were his words. So it's amazing, hey, how it works. And then some guy asked me what I do. And so I just kind of felt a prompting not to actually share the old hat sort of answer. But said to him, well, you know, what I try and do is help people discover and just grow in their relationship with God. And sort of complete silence after that one. But sometimes you just got to go with that prompting. I'll share two more because these are a little bit funny. We made it to the grand final that year, so, you know, we're playing on the field sort of thing. I just thought I'd show you some of this. No. I'm not that good, anyway. So we're playing on the hockey field in the grand final, and like we did quite well that year. We're leading 5-0 with 10 minutes to go, so it's all over, right? And I'm the captain of the side, so you've got to make a speech at the end, you know. The speeches, they don't really count. And so playing away, 10 minutes to go, and God says, I want you to mention me. I said, you've got to be joking. How do I do that? And I think, okay, we'll let that sort of sit and see where it goes. So 5 minutes to go, 5-0 still, it's all over. He says, I really do want you to mention me. And for me that day, the sense was so strong that it wouldn't go away. So I subbed off and I said, look, guys, I've got to work on this speech. You go. Anyway, get up to the podium and, you know, you're thanking the umpires for a good job, even though you're just lying. And, you know, you're thanking the opposition, our teammates. And then I just said, look, God bless. See you later. And it's funny, the reaction, because the guys, the opposition team just sort of turned around and walked off. And then my teammates kind of turned around and walked off laughing. But it's funny, when we go back, they'll always mention, I can't believe you blessed the opposition. I can't believe you said God bless in a speech at the end. And it'll just sort of help conversations. Maybe just one more, and then I want to share some others. This guy at the club was actually... the club was packed after the game. People are having drinks. And he yells out, Jesus, in a profane way, not in a praise-type way. And then about 3 seconds later, he goes, oh, sorry, Darren. Didn't mean it, mate. Won't happen again. And like everyone stopped and just sort of looked. And it was kind of a little bit embarrassing, but the point of what I'm saying is that I'm a pretty quiet guy at the club, you know, and if I have opportunity I might share, sometimes I haven't, but you can actually have a considerable impact in the way you live, the way you just be yourself in the Lord, the way you, as I've said tonight, to grow in this fullness of God's Spirit, to help you just be you and the Lord. Okay? Now with that, I have to mention some failures, because I've had many failures where God, you know, in His grace has helped me in that. But there've been many times when I haven't actually responded to the Holy Spirit's leadings. For instance, I know there's some people there with serious medical conditions, and I've felt a leading just to go and sit with them, chat with them, and just actually be with them and maybe have an opportunity to share the healing grace of Christ. I'm making a renewed commitment to try and do that this season. There have been times where, I mean, probably going back 3 or 4 years ago, I was actually quite an aggressive player on the field. I received many a yellow card. No reds, but I remember this one day. This guy really spoke into my life about this. I came off the field, it was a bit rough on the field. And he said, I cannot believe, and this is what he said, his words, I cannot believe a minister of the cloth would actually perform that way and be that way. And I didn't actually respond with grace that day. I didn't say things like, you know, I'm not perfect, and I do actually regret those things. And then there was this one occasion which probably stays in my memory. It sort of acts as a motivator. We're doing a warm-up lap around the oval one day, and there's this group of Aboriginal people over there, 4 or 5. They're just sitting on the grass, having a good time, chatting with one another. And then my teammates start to bag them. They start to say all sorts of things, you know, the negative connotations about them. And I'm thinking, this is not right. This is not right. And they just kept saying stuff. And looking back on that, I knew it was something in me, the Holy Spirit, which was wanting to say something. It was wanting to come out and say, hey, these are people. To stand up for justice and righteousness and for this people. But I remain silent. I remain silent. I didn't respond as I, in hindsight, would have wanted to. And I look back on that and I think that's a missed opportunity. That's an opportunity where I didn't take the risk. And I think we could all say tonight we've had missed opportunities. We've had maybe moments where you sense there's something the Lord is saying, we haven't stepped out and done it. And for me, I'm making a renewed commitment to this in terms of trying to respond fully to the Holy Spirit in everyday life and every day in terms of what we're doing. And if there's something I would want you to go away with tonight, it would be this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a repeated thing, continually. Try and organise something in your day where you can stop and be filled. For some of us, it's reading the Word and journaling. Respond fully to His promptings, wherever you are situated during the week. And then you can live an empowered life in Jesus. So be filled with the Holy Spirit, respond fully to His promptings, live an empowered life in Jesus. And if my encouragement for you tonight is this. Take the opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity you get. Take more Spirit-led risks. Don't settle for second best. Don't miss that moment as the Lord lives or leads. Just step out, live life to the fullness of Jesus' mission and call on your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Respond fully to His promptings. Live an empowered life in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to just invite the team back just to play and minister. And as they come back, for some it might be a renewed commitment just to responding to the Holy Spirit in regard to Jesus' mission. For others, it may be a desire that you want an even deeper sense of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if God has said something to you tonight, I want to pray and ask that you don't go away. Don't ignore that. Just respond to that. Because we have opportunity now to really respond to Him, not only in worship and praise, but to His Holy Spirit and the fullness of His Spirit. So I'm going to call us to stand in a moment and to stand together and declare some things. For us, it may be a good reminder, but I want to encourage us just to commit to this in a deeper sense tonight. So will you stand with me? I'm standing with you as well. And then we'll finish with this great worship song. By standing together, we are declaring that we are the dwelling place of God's Spirit together. We desire to be led by the Holy Spirit on all occasions. Lord, our desire is to keep in step with the Spirit of God, to live in the freedom of the Spirit. Lord, we continually want to be filled with the Spirit. So just pause at this moment and just ask, Lord, for that infilling of your Spirit. Lord, sometimes we may not be aware of what your Spirit is saying. So, Lord, would you sharpen our discernment tonight to hear your promptings? Would we just, you sharpen that so we would just know it is you speaking to us in those situations. Lord, help us to take more Spirit-led opportunities. We want to be active in the response to your Spirit's leadings. Lord, most of all, would the Spirit reveal and glorify Jesus wherever we are situated, in our schools, our unis, our homes, the streets where we live, amongst our friends and family. Spirit of Christ, reign in our hearts and lives. Reign forever. If you want a prayer for this, if you want to be prayed over, there's something about something of the laying of hands and praying for people, identifying with people, then please, you come forward. There's Rod, David, John, Tanya, myself, others. We'd love to stand with you. Okay, but let's praise, let's sing. Rain Down.